Morning, church.
Morning.
Paz y vos.
A vos, paz.
Feels good to be here.
That's good, amen. Today, got a little confession. I'm kind of preaching to myself today. When I say that, it's because when I was trying to find something to talk about, it was extremely hard. Because I was going back and forth until I came across a psalm that kind of spoke to me. I felt like it's what I needed. So I kind of tried to throw things together that I was reading to create a sermon. So I don't think it's going to flow very good. But I pray that those words that touched me will also touch you today. Man, I haven't even started speaking. I'm already crying. But God is good, guys. I mean, I had a pretty hard week. So I'm glad it's over. We're going to read the entire chapter of Psalm 25. So I'm going to need some help. And when I say we, I mean you. So we're going to go through the entire chapter there. So if you want to get some verses, just stand up, read a couple verses, let somebody else read. You know, you can say next. Read nice and loud so everybody can hear. So whoever wants to get that started, feel free. And my sermons are always short, so I don't mind waiting up here and kill some time. So,
starting from one?
Yeah, starting from one, please.
Unto thee, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let not alone wait to be the ashamed. Let the ashamed be which turns to gross without cause. Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path. Lead in my truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for my goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. All the paths of the Lord in mercy are truth, and to such as keep his covenant and in his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. But the man is feareth of the Lord, him shall teach the way that he shall choose. The soul shall fall at ease, and his feet shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that they fear him, and he will shew them in his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged, O bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, in all of his troubles.
Thank you. You know, verse 17 is kind of what stuck out to me when I was reading this. And then I kind of went back towards the beginning, but it says, the troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of this distress. And I feel like when David writes, and he's writing the psalm, and he's facing trouble. He's in a desperate time, I feel, where he's crying out to God. And sometimes, you know, I speak for myself. Sometimes when I face trouble, I don't cry out to God. I kind of run away from Him in a sense. And I texted Levi this week. I had a horrible day at work. I was just fed up. I still hadn't found the topic. And I was about to, I asked him, on a stress level of 1 to 10, where are you at? You know, I wanted to see how he was doing first before I pawned my sermon off on him. You know, and he's like, I'm about a 5. And I found myself that I was running away from God. In the time of my week that I needed to dive into His Word so I can prepare a sermon, I was trying to get rid of that duty. I was trying to get rid of that thing that was going to get me closer to Him. And do you know, when I had texted him, it took him a while to reply. And I was like, come on, Levi. And I'm kind of glad he did that. I'm really glad he did that, because that allowed me to calm down. That allowed me to realize what I was doing. And it allowed me to dig into God's Word a little bit. The very first verse of this psalm says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." When life has us down, we need to look up. See, what is your soul? Sometimes we merge the body, the mind, the soul, the heart, and spirit all together. See, we talk about a person's soul as that which lives on forever. But specifically, we identify the mind as the center of our thoughts, the heart as the center of our will, and the soul as the center of our emotions. And more often than we'd like to admit, we are driven by emotions. We logically know what we should do, but we emotionally feel something else. And sometimes those emotions overcome what we know we should be doing. And we either act out a certain way, or we say things that can definitely hurt somebody. And we sometimes let those emotions control us to the point where they're controlling our spiritual life. When you're mad, how many of you be like, "Oh yeah, I'll pray"? When I'm mad sometimes and we're sitting down and get ready to eat, like, "Isabel, you pray." Because there's that barrier between me and God almost. And that's the most appropriate time to be willing to get closer to God instead of pawning it off to somebody else. See, as David talks about lifting up his soul, he's about intentionally turning his emotions over to reflect on God. He's talking about worshiping Him. He's talking about praise. See, Psalm 37, David talks about the same idea. He starts out, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong." But then he goes on to talk about the intentional refocus of our emotions. He says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him." See, I heard something this week on the radio. It's like the first 30 seconds of when you walk in the door, like when you get home from work, that's what sets the tone for your rest of your afternoon. And I owe an apology to my wife, because this week I walked in the door very grouchy most of the week. And I tried it one day and I was like, I'm going to try to walk in our door kind of happy. This doesn't happen a lot, so I kind of washed the dishes and, you know, was trying to get things to be good. And I intentionally tried to bring myself up. And sometimes I think we get stuck in this state or this kind of thing, like, "Oh, my day was crappy. I'm not going to do anything else." You know? But we have to intentionally try to get ourselves out of there. See, we may not be able to control our circumstances, but we can control our response to those circumstances. And when I say that, I think about Job a little bit. He lost everything. His cattle, his wealth, his children, his health, his friends. His friends would accuse him and be like, "It's all your fault, man." Wife would tell him, "You suck, curse you, Job, curse God." And what does he do? He intentionally praises God. We have all these things that life throws at us, and we can let that control who we are and what we do, or we can turn that around to be a learning lesson for us and those around us. So we can intentionally want to serve God. See, when I was in college, I don't know if some of you guys remember, but I drove my little Houdini around, which was a little white Honda Civic. Called him Houdini because he had magic seatbelts, so those little automatic ones. But these had a mind of their own, like they would never work. You know, I'd take Isabel for ice cream and the seatbelt was like, doot, 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 doot. I was like, ah, dang it. So I was driving down Shaw Avenue in Fresno. I had my friend Alex was in the front seat. My friend Darren was in the back seat. This car was always breaking down on me. Ends up breaking down. We were like the farthest lane to the middle, so I think it's like three lanes on Shaw. Oh, I get out of the car. I'm all mad. I'm all yelling. I'm about to, where's the match? Going to put a match in the gas tank. Forget this car. Darren gets out of the car. Some of you guys saw Darren at our wedding, like shorter guy with beard. This guy starts singing. He starts singing out of nowhere, and he's not a great singer. And he's singing, and he starts pushing my car. It's like, what the heck is this guy doing? You know, I was so mad. And he gets out of the car singing. He gets out intentionally happy. We push over the car, and we end up in the Best Western. I think it's like a hotel right there, right before Shaw, and I don't even know what that street is anymore. But we get there, and we end up pushing the darn car in the middle of this curb, so now the car's stuck. So now I'm even more mad. I'm like, oh, gosh. And there goes Darren. And I remember, don't worry, be happy. I was like, dude, you got to be kidding me. And he was intentionally being happy and making a moment that I look back on and I realize that's pretty funny, you know? And I think that's how we should approach our life sometimes. We're so focused and we get so mad that we forget about the moments and we forget to be happy. And here's another confession of mine. I struggle a lot with contentment sometimes. Especially when I see the nice shiny trucks driving down the street. And we need to trust in the Lord that the things that we have and the things that are in our lives, God has given us. Because as crappy as my truck is, and sometimes I can't get it to go in reverse, God gave me that truck. And I prayed for that truck. And even though I get mad about it sometimes, He provided me with that. Verse 2 of that psalm says, "In you I trust, O my God." It says, "Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." See, just like Darren did that one time, David is choosing to praise. And when he does, every time we praise, we renew our commitment to trusting God. Sometimes the biggest problem we face in difficult times, it's so easy to find things to rejoice in. You take 5-10 minutes to find something to rejoice in God, and I guarantee you, this list will keep on going. God is great. See, God should be trusted daily. Psalm 37:3 reads, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." See, God should be trusted for our daily direction. When you have to make choices, ask God. Don't just go out and do them like I do, and then they fall apart sometimes, and then you realize I should have asked God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths." And God should be trusted for future blessings. You should trust in God that He's going to bless us and provide for us in the future. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Another verse in Psalm 123:2 reads, as the eyes of the slave look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of the maid look to the hand of their mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. We are to look to God for that guidance. We are to look to God and trust him that he will provide. Has God ever left you or forsake you? I'm wondering, has he ever done that? Sometimes when we're in the moment, we might feel like, the heck? But he hasn't. When you look back at times when you think you had it tough, they weren't really all that tough. If you had God in your life. But if we were in a time in our life when we didn't, then yeah, things probably were tough. Take time for the Lord. It says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. See, other Bible versions read, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all the day. See, the idea we see here is waiting on God. Sometimes there's two kinds of waiting. And I'm a very impatient driver. I'm coming back from the men's retreat. And, you know, I was kind of like riding up on some guy's truck. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you know, I was getting kind of irritated. And sometimes I'm at a red light or I'm late to something and I start honking because the guy's not going on the light screen. It's like, come on. So I'm not really doing a good job at waiting, you know? But there's also the type of waiting. Isabel and I were in Long Beach one time, and I remember this restaurant because, gosh, it was the best steak I've ever had. It's called 555. So if you're ever in Long Beach, go to that steakhouse. But the waiters kind of just stood there in their little fancy clothes thingy-majigger and their little brooms because they swept your tablecloth. And they waited in case somebody needed something. All you had to do was, like, raise your hand or, like, if you're at school or something, and they'd come rushing to you. It's like, what can I get for you? There's two types of waiting. And I feel like we should be like the waiter when we're waiting on God. Wait there until God gives us the direction to do something. Don't give up on waiting. Don't start honking your horn at God and be like, come on, I prayed like 2 days ago. And sometimes we do that. Man, this guy must really hate me. He hasn't answered my prayer. See, God's ways are perfect, right? Right? Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those who trust in him. God's ways are joyful. Do you find joy in God's ways? Job 8:19. Behold, this is the joy of his way. And out of the earth shall others grow. And God's way brings peace. Luke 1:79. Jesus is come to give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, when Levi speaks, he always has really good jokes. Well, sometimes they're good. And I was trying to come up with a joke, and I couldn't come up with a joke. Sometimes you guys do stories, and I really couldn't come up with the story. But I found one that I was like, ah, it's kind of easy to explain, so I'm going to try to explain it. Hopefully it doesn't go too bad. So there's this family, and they're out on this lake, and the dad's fishing, and he tells the older brother, hey, watch your little brother, because I'm fishing. And little brother goes out to this deck, and he ends up falling in the lake. And the dad freaks out. So he runs out there, he jumps in. Lake water is always kind of gross. So he jumps in, and he's trying to find his son. Couldn't find him, because when he opened his eyes, he really couldn't see. So he comes back up for air, he goes back down. And he finds his son is holding to the very bottom of the deck. So he lifts him up, he takes him out of the water, and after they're calm, he's like, "Buddy, what the heck were you doing holding the bottom of the deck? Why weren't you on the top?" And the son says, "Oh, I was waiting on you, Dad." And sometimes I feel like that's how we need to be. We need to have the trust to wait on God. Sometimes we don't. We want things our own way. And we're going to do whatever we try so it works out. And this little kid knew that his dad was going to get him. And that's how we need to be. We need to be like a little kid. We need to know that God got us. See, I told you it wasn't that great of a story. But I think you need to truly understand what my point was. Is that in difficult times, we might panic. And we might be at the very bottom of something. And we want to get back to the top. So bad that we take things into our own hands. And we need to realize that when we try to get back up, that means we're giving up hope. When we try to do things without God, we're giving up hope on God. Verse 2, he talks about not being ashamed. And in verse 3, he says, "No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame." So what's this focus on shame? See, well, David is a man of God. He's a teacher of Israel. He's the one that leads people to trust in God. And if you tell someone, "Oh, trust in God," and something goes wrong, we might feel ashamed, right? But see, Psalm 115, David says, "Why do the nations say, 'Where is their God?' If we tell others they need to trust in the Lord, but we don't see God working, it kind of embarrasses us a little bit. But why do we get embarrassed? We get embarrassed because we're giving up that hope." And when we give up that hope, it's a very tough time in our walk with Christ. Because at that point, you're not really praying. At that point, you're not even reading. Because you're mad. You're mad at the situation that you're in right now. See, when we go through the difficult times, we have to learn to persevere through those difficult times. And the only way to do that is to lean on God. How many of us can say that we were doing really well and then something bad happened and we kind of took a jump down, right? I definitely can. And the thing is, on July 23rd, 2011, I made a commitment. And that was I accepted Christ into my life. And I was going to live for Him. And when I take that dive and I take that jump, I'm backing out on that commitment. And we need to be able to keep on with that commitment. And the next thing that we have to do is we have to tell others about Christ. Because we've accepted it, and we've accepted the mission of going to tell others the good news. And see, this last weekend at the men's retreat, some of you may know, but Chris accepted Jesus. And I was really proud of him. And now it's our job to be able to take Chris and encourage him and be able to teach him. Because we have to look out for one another. So he doesn't lose that hope that Jesus is there. And we have to do that within each other here. How many of you can say that you're going through a tough time and somebody from the church lifted you up? Only one person? We are all God's people. And Coach would always tell me, you know, you kind of want to be, when you're on a team, you want to be like a closed fist, right? Because when you go to fight or you go to do something, you're not going to punch something with your fingers wide open because then you're going to hurt those fingers, right? So if we're all separate and we go on to attack this evil world separated, we're going to get hurt. But when we go on to take on the world as a closed fist, when the church is united, then we're going to have an impact. And sometimes, if we're discouraged, and we're not looking for God for that peace, that's when we come into play. And we have to lift each other up. And I told you my sermon wasn't even going to flow, and I don't even know where I'm at anymore. But I want you to understand that I'm here for you. I might not know all the answers. And I know for sure I don't know all the answers. But you call me and you say, Alex, can you pray for me? I guarantee you, I'm going to pray for you. And I know that I can do the same. Because when you have weeks like I did this last week, and where they weren't so good, and you go through it on your own, that's because you want to. Because we're here for each other. So pick up your phone, guys. Call each other up. Help each other. Psalm 102, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And I'm glad that I didn't pawn off the sermon on somebody else. Because in the preparation of it, I was lifted up. And I told you I was kind of preaching to myself this Sabbath. Because I needed that lift up. And I know times can be tough. So my main message here today is, if you need a lift up, call each other. Pray for each other. Pray that you can get closer to God. And read His Word. I truly love you guys all. I really do. I know that I can trust and rely on any one of you more than I can of my own blood family. And that brings joy to my heart. It truly does. And I hope that you feel the same way about me. Because when we serve each other, we're serving God, and I hope that you serve God out of joy. God bless you guys.